It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
All right, you got to sell everything you got and buy gold. Get to it. Scott, what do you think of that?
Well, it's cheaper than it was yesterday.
Oh, it's funny. And the reason I say that, or have the smoky announcer guy say that about me, because I'll never do that. You see the gold pitchmen on TV, and they come out and I own gold because it's all about, and they, you know, it's like, good grief. Anyway, fun way to start the show. Scott,
yeah.
Let's talk about what's going on in the market.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
So you fired up your 46-inch flat screen on the wall with
yep.
Watching your buddy Jim Cramer talk about stocks, and then you've gone around the horn, and
he had an oven mitt today that he was using to hold his iPad to illustrate the point that they're having that heating problem.
That's rude. I didn't see that. I think that I would call that rude. You know, I know he likes to be like a financial Gallagher. You know, the guy that smashes watermelons with a sledgehammer?
Yeah, he's in the hospital. He's had a heart attack.
I heard that, but I thought he was doing better. But hopefully he does better.
Hopefully.
But Cramer reminds me of a financial Gallagher out there smashing his...
Yeah, a little bit less sweet and innocent, though, Cramer is. Cramer's kind of edgy.
Well, and I think that's a bit rude. He could impact the stock's value. He could have somebody or... us collectively think twice and say, well, you know, I don't really want to get my hands burned holding the iPad. You know, when the laptops came out, they did have heat issues. A whole industry was born of having these things you put your laptop on when you put it on your lap.
Yeah.
So you had a laptop for your laptop. You had this heavy duty construction thing. I've got one in the closet. Okay. So I don't know. I just think people need to be responsible for their comments. Just like me, Scott, responsible with his comments.
All right.
But I will get to Buffett later. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, Thursday's market was actually rebounded pretty well lately. It was at the very end of the market, but ended up in the red. The Dow down 78 points, NASDAQ down 12, S&P down 10, gold down 8. Gold is having a little bit of a rough go, still at 1642, but it wasn't that long ago. We were in the 1800s on gold. Oil down a dollar. 87 to 105, and 10s closed down a little bit on the yield today at 228.
See, now let me comment if you don't mind. All of that makes sense. The thing that sticks out is gold, because with the stock market going down, that could be a reflection of expectations about global growth, especially China. Oil comes down because of the same expected slower growth, and the yield on the treasuries goes, what, down? And so the price went up a little bit. So everything makes sense there except for the gold. What do you make of that?
Well, it's only 8 points.
Okay. Well, 2%? Less than 2%?
No, it's about a half a percent.
Half a percent? Okay.
Yeah, about a half a percent. So,
all right. So it doesn't bother you. You're not bothered by that.
It's just trading volume, I think.
Okay.
A couple pieces of relatively interesting corporate news today. We'll start there, and then I want to go overseas. But let's start with FedEx announced that... the economy is not growing as quickly as they thought it was going to. So they're expecting global GDP to rise 2.3% this year, down from their prior forecast of 2.9%. They had some really good earnings numbers today. A lot of that was on the strength of Apple because they're the preferred shipper for the iPads, and they had a very good holiday season. But still, the shares were off a little bit on their comments about global growth.
Well, you were calling this earlier. I caught part of your comments before about kind of, it's kind of like it's a twofer trade.
Oh, yeah, like a pair trade almost.
It's so people are some of the traders are picking up Apple and FedEx as a package?
Well, a lot of times what will happen is if you can get these sort of proxy companies that you think are going to trade in line with another company, a lot of people think Apple is too expensive at $600, but they want part of that ecosystem, so to speak. So they'll buy FedEx or they'll buy a chip maker or they'll buy...
So it's a surrogate.
Yeah, they'll buy Corning.
Maybe they'll start buying oven mitts.
Perhaps.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know, Kramer will probably come out with an oven mitt here in the next couple of weeks. Go ahead.
He might. And the day would not be complete without Apple news. It has been leaked, more or less, kind of, that the iPhone 5 will come out next quarter, and they have made a much bigger screen, 4.6-inch screen, which is as big as the Galaxy S2 smartphone. It's that great big screen.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, it's a big
screen. Is it going to be longer and still the same width?
No, it's longer and wider.
Really?
Yeah, it's a big screen. It's actually, when I bought my iPhone, the only thing I didn't like about it was that it was quite a bit smaller than the big Droid phone screens. And so I guess they've got that corrected.
I always worry about it being too big. You know, like when I first got my iPhone, you put it up to your ear and it's like, golly, it's kind of weird to get used to holding a square.
Yeah.
Or a rectangle, excuse me. But now that we kind of get used to it, are there any heat issues with the iPhone?
Well, it's not out yet, but to give you a little frame of reference, it's about as big as Miss Pat's phone.
Okay. Very good. That helps. Well, I'm just worried that we might need to don't get an oven mitt. Maybe we just get some duct tape for our fingers or something.
It's going to be hard to dial.
All right. Well,
with anything like
should
that.
Have to, though. It's a very smart, and Siri will dial the number for you.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. I know you got more stuff there, Scott. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
All right, we're back. Scott, I know you have more to share with us, and I kind of cut you off there. Sorry, but we were up against a break. Lisa has this little fan-shaped thing that she flashes and waves at us. It says 5 seconds, and I was getting cold by the frantic fanning that she was doing to me. So
you're in trouble when the darts show up. Well, there's a good slew of economic news on Thursday's market. The most important one that we always like to talk about on Thursday are the jobless claims. Jobless claims down 5,000 to seasonally adjusted 348,000. Economists had actually expected that number to go up a little bit. So a little bit more good jobs news, which we're always happy to have, although I wouldn't say it's notably good, but it's, you know, still in the right direction. So we'll take that.
Also, hey, I'll take the good news every day of the week.
Yeah. On Thursday, I'm going to give you one more boring one. Then I'm going to give you one that you might find interesting. Conference Board announced their leading economic indicators. I like leading economic indicators because it's got all different kinds of stuff in there. It's got jobs figures in there. It's got stock market figures. It's got retail sales, all kinds of stuff in there. Leading indicators up 0.7% last month after being up only 0.2% in January. So that's a pretty good move.
Annualized number? Or monthly number?
That's a monthly number over the previous...
Oh, month over month.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
so,
that's good.
And help people understand this, Scott, just for a second here. A leading versus trailing indicator.
Yeah, a leading indicator is one that has a tendency to move ahead of the economy.
So it would be considered indicative of future results.
Yeah, generally speaking, a leading indicator is thought to be about 6 months ahead of the general economy.
So that would be labor?
The weekly labor number.
Weekly numbers.
The stock market.
Stock market itself, right?
Very much a leading indicator. Retail sales numbers are leading indicators. Housing permits are pretty strong leading indicators.
That's a really good one. What about a trailing?
Trailing ones are going to be things like GDP is the trailer of all trailers.
Because they revise it two or three times, and we're already, you know, it used to be there was a joke, and of course it's not a joke anymore after the Great Recession, but once upon a time they used to say, they wouldn't call a recession when we were in it. They'd wait till we're out of it and say, you know, back there, that bump in the road, that was a recession, but we didn't tell you. Now we just want to tell you we were. Yeah. So the GDP is a big one.
Yeah, that is the lagging of all lagging. So good news there. I think the headwind on future readings of leading indicators are going to be oil prices, because they definitely have an impact on consumer sentiment. So we'll see what happens there.
There's another indicator. It's like what they call it. It's like a concurrent or something. It runs
coincident.
Along. Coincident. There you go. And does oil fall into that category?
No, oil will be more of a leader.
Leader. Okay. Yeah. Because that's the expectations about future demand for global growth and all of this.
Yeah, which I want to talk about in a second. But first, let me finish up my domestic economic news. TIPS auction today.
Do we have a negative yield?
We have a record low negative yield.
And you know what? I did not see that yet. So that was just my expectation. What was
negative 0.89%. So basically what that means is the government auctioned off treasury inflation protected bonds.
How long term?
10 years.
Okay.
And the initial return for investors who buy them now is negative 0.089%. The reason they do that is because they think inflation is really going to kick up and they'll make the money on inflation. And you can analyze a 10-year TIP versus a regular 10-year and get an idea of what the inflation expectation is, because, you know, things trade in parity all the time. And so that is telling us that the market is expecting an annual inflation rate of 2.38% over the next 10 years.
Yeah, because the treasuries right now for 10 years are what, just over 2.2, 2.3?
Right.
And the TIP is negative 1?
Negative 0.89. So
okay, so almost negative 1%.
Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting. Well, some people and some of the magazines talk about buying TIPS. What do you think of that, Scott?
I mean, I think they're a good part of an overall diversified portfolio. They're just like stocks, you know, and we're looking hard at our fixed income portfolios right now because I want to be ready for rising interest rates.
And you've already shortened up.
We've already shortened up, and then the next thing to do is you can look at some higher yielding stuff because you get your money back faster. You can look overseas. You can look at TIPS. There's a handful of things that you can do to be ready for rising interest rates. So we've been putting a lot of work into analyzing our portfolios and how they are exposed to bonds.
So you're not waiting, and I think this is a key for a lot of people to understand, is you're not waiting for the Federal Reserve to say, okay, we're raising interest rates, and then you say, okay, now that I know that rates are going up, I'm going to go over here and adjust our bonds.
Yeah, and
you can't do it that way, right?
Right, and we also don't do anything all at once. You know, it's going to be a little bit here, a little bit down the road, a little bit down the road, and everything is really sort of U-shaped. Otherwise, you can get caught in, you know, get caught on the wrong side of stuff.
Yeah, because if you try to wait until they make the change, then the market is, believe it or not out there, ladies and gentlemen, the market is very often very efficient.
Yeah.
Those prices get marked right away, where if they raise interest rates 1%, a 10-year bond can drop 10% immediately.
Right. And I also can't completely change the portfolio right now on the expectation that interest rates go up, because I might be wrong. I thought interest rates were going to go up a year ago.
We've been waiting. And I don't think that the Federal Reserve is going to actually raise rates for quite a while yet.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see treasuries
market rates
come up. Yeah. And I think the yield will rise. And because of that, that'll cause mortgage rates. It'll cause the corporate bond, municipal bond, all of those rates to go up, without the Federal Reserve raising CDs. So what's interesting is that we may get to where we have a 5 or 10 year treasury that's paying a much, much higher rate than a comparable 5 year CD.
Yeah, sure.
And that's pretty interesting. You could, and inflation kicks up like the expectation is, and I actually think inflation is going to be higher than what you're seeing from
the TIPS auction.
The TIPS.
The thing about inflation is that there are so many different inflations. Everybody paints it with one brush, but there's your inflation, there's government inflation, there's core inflation, all that stuff.
All right. Well, we need to continue here. I know you need to go overseas a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, stick around. We'll be right back.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement?
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back, and we need to go overseas a little bit here. No button to push yet, Lisa. Okay, no bull here. All right, so we need to go overseas.
Yeah, we're starting to see some fairly consistent reports from China as well as Europe, but we'll start with China, that that the rate of growth is slowing and starting to slow fairly quickly. Specifically for Thursday's market, we have a Purchasing Managers Index. We call it the PMI. They call it the PMI, but it's basically the PMI. And the initial reading here has fallen to 48.1, down from 49.6. That's one of those diffusion indexes. So anytime it's below 50, it's showing retraction. Above 50 is showing growth. So that's showing us a faster rate of retraction in that sector of the economy in China.
Hey, Lisa, do you have just the bull sound without all the other stuff? No, don't do anything right now. But next time, a little bull sound. Whenever Scott says diffusion index, I want you to play it.
I like diffusion indices. Now, right. Interestingly, inside this number, you know, they can break these numbers down a million different ways. But what they look at is they compare new orders to manufacturers from internal sources and new orders to manufacturers for export. And the export number is mostly just been about the same. What's really starting to shrink pretty quickly are the numbers that are coming from inside China. So that is showing us that their internal economy is starting to slow pretty quickly.
That's very interesting because they have spent a literal fortune on their infrastructure.
Yes.
Building it. I mean, it's a huge country. How many people they got? Over a billion people?
Yeah.
Billion two, billion three. Well, yeah, so funny. I say a billion. I say, well, maybe it's a billion three. That little difference is the size of the United States.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I mean, so their growth has been just extraordinary. So we're still seeing on the export side their productivity. A lot of that, of course, is to Europe, United States, all their other trading partners, but then they're coming up short internally.
Yeah, and the government is starting to act as well, which tells you that there really is a problem because they don't want to do things like that. But the People's Bank of China has cut their reserves level twice since November. That puts money into the system. There are some other things still left that they can do. They can increase their social benefits spending, which puts money into the system.
What about their housing? Because they were really trying to contain the housing bubble, and they were requiring larger down payments. Is that all still part of that?
They are definitely trying to control that budget, but it's a balancing act, just like
exactly,
any other
economy.
Well, exactly,
because if you want to encourage that, maybe they'll back off that.
Yeah, and they can build infrastructure. You know, they can build shovel ready jobs and highways and all that stuff. So there still are tools available to them to provide us with a soft landing. Everybody is confident that their economy is going to slow. It's a matter of how quickly it slows. A soft landing we can handle, but if they just go all of a sudden overnight into a recession, it's a global problem. Anyway, I told you earlier this week, I think we're going to be talking a lot about China in the next couple of months.
And here we are.
Yeah, and it's really starting.
Anything out of Europe at all? You were going to mention them.
Yeah, PMI number from Europe as well. It showed some shrinking, and the concern this time around was that it was showing some shrinking in Germany and France. It was more of the core economies than the peripheral economies.
Well, and the British are concerned. I wanted to share this with you and get your feedback on it and for our listeners. The UK just announced that they're going to cut income taxes. And this is pretty bold for them, I think. They're going to bring their top personal income tax rate down from 50%. You believe that, Lisa? They're paying 50%. That's obscene. They're paying 50% income tax on income over $240,000, and they're going to drop that down to 45%. And here we are about to go the other way. Why are they doing it? Because they're trying to create and stimulate the economy. So they've already had higher taxes, and now they're going to drop them down to try to stimulate. Why aren't we watching that? Why doesn't our government say, hey, look over there? They're having to drop taxes because they had higher taxes and it hurt their economy.
Yeah. Well, and they have it right in their backyard too. Ireland announced today that they went back into a recession at the end of 2011. Obviously, those two economies are very, very intertwined. The Central Statistics Agency said that the gross domestic product fell 0.2% for the October to December quarter. So there still is. concern there.
I'm baffled, ladies and gentlemen. I know you hear my frustration often. I'm baffled that we have the glaring example of Greece, what happens when you spend too much money. And then you've got other countries like Great Britain who are saying, hey, guys, we're going to cut taxes because we need that to stimulate growth. And we're over here going, oh, we got to raise it. And I know we got to get to this. We're going to take another quick break. Don't go anywhere, Scott. I want to talk about there's a nonpartisan, where is it? I'll find it on the break. There's a nonpartisan group that studied the tax proposals from your buddy, Mr. Buffett, and they have an opinion about it, which is going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, I did see that story.
All right, well, stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
All right, we're back. Hey, we've got something from the Just In department. What was that, Scott, about? Is it Nokia?
Nike posted Nike, earnings of $1.20 a share on revenue of $5.8 billion. Shares are trading up.
That's a lot of tennis shoes.
It's a lot of tennis shoes.
$5.8 billion, is that for the quarter or for the year?
That's a quarter.
Good grief. Nike does almost $24 billion of sales a year.
Yeah, you know, they're really transforming that company, though. It's not just a shoe company. It's very much a clothing company. They're also turning into a tech company in a lot of different ways. Chips in shoes and apps and all kinds of
stuff. Well, if you can do a tattoo with your phone ringer, I mean, why can't you? You know, it's been predicted for some time now about having the technology that just, it's in everything. It's in your clothes. It's in, you know, and they've had that for a while now. They've been talking about it. I read an article the other day that I should have saved it for you, Lisa. It was from Michael. He's got a funny name. I'll have to find it. Anyway, Michael Kaku. Anyway, he's a physicist, talks about the string theory and all that, but he was doing some predictions about the future and where these chips are becoming so cheap and so small that they will literally be in everything. And it will be like almost like magic. And, you know, you'll just voice
activate. It's already magic to me.
Yeah, well, it is magic. I mean, it is. It's interesting. So let's go back to taxes because, you know, I want to talk about that. We have all of these glaring examples. Well, this is extraordinary. I mean, look at my paper. Look, Lisa, Scott, I mean, I've got this report from the Wall Street Journal, and I pretty much just took out a yellow highlighter roller and rolled the whole article with paint. Because I wanted to talk about. Listen to this. They did a study. Let's see who it is. The Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center, which is a joint venture of the Brookings Institution and the Urban Institute. Anyway, they conducted this study, and here's what they found, which is extraordinary. The gentleman's name is Mr. Williams. Mr. Williams questioned the wisdom of reducing federal deficits through tax increases only on those making over $250,000 a year. And he said, while these folks have a lot of money, it's not enough. They don't have enough money to solve our budget problems on their backs alone. So here we have a nonpartisan group that says it's not enough. You know, the other thing that they looked at was if they do this, you know, the millionaire tax thing that Buffett's been pushing for, that the folks have to pay at least 30% on their income who make over $1 million, that it's still nowhere near enough. And it was only going to produce about $50 billion over a period of time. So these numbers, well, here we go. Here's the number. The top 1% of earners for 2013 would have income of about $600,000 a year. That's a lot of money.
Yep.
Okay. I'm not saying there's anything to sneeze at. They'd see their income tax go up by $90,000.
That's impactful.
That's huge. And these are the same people that are spending all the money. These are the spenders, right?
Yeah.
That has a big impact. So if they make these changes, they're looking at about $1 trillion over a 10-year period. But a lot of people, and I think most people, are concerned about if they do get the extra tax revenue, are they going to reduce the deficit or are they going to spend it?
Yeah.
See, the fundamental problem is we don't have a balanced budget amendment. I call it the better backbone amendment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the problems are obvious. The solutions are fairly obvious, but there's no cooperation.
See, here's the thing, and I think this is what a lot of people don't realize that are on the far left fiscally. I think conservative people that and the people that are making more money, I think those people could be persuaded to pay more in tax if there was a guarantee that it would go to reduce the deficit, and you would also reduce spending. But there is no balanced budget amendment. Florida, we got one. The Florida House or the Florida legislative process, they have a $70 billion budget for the next year. It's a lot of money, but it's got to be balanced. It's got to be a balanced budget. Anyway, that's something that we need to think about. We are not going to fix it today, but this is the kind of stuff we need to think about. We look overseas, we see these other examples. When you take that money, you take all that money out of the private sector and you give it to the government, you're talking about a rather, and they looked at it also for top 1% earners, and those are the folks that make over $2.7 million a year.
Yeah.
So 0.1% of the population, and they'd see their taxes go up by $500,000. So that would be $500,000. Do you think they spend that money? You think they save that money?
I imagine they would impact their spending.
It would, so it would affect their spending. But let's say they save it. Well, guess what, Scott? They're not going to give it to you to manage.
That's right. I don't like that.
You don't like that. All right, Scott. I'm going to let you get on with managing it. I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with some of our top secret stuff and also some of your two-minute warnings. Stay tuned.
80.
30.
50.
Every mile brings us closer.
25.
Every mile in a city near you.
75.
Help us stop diabetes.
100.
Join the Tour de Cure.
60.
Register to ride.
36.
Or sponsor a rider.
50.
Call 1-888-DIABETES or visit us online at diabetes.org/tour. How many miles will you ride?
25.
The following top secret message is ready for declassification.
Well, I kept Scott late and long. We get on a roll. I'm going to keep talking about it. This is interesting stuff. I hope you're enjoying it. I am. I love doing this. All right. Here, speaking of those fat cats, okay, those people making all that money. Let's see here. We got a study that was done by Bank of America, and they looked at affluent people and their behavior. It's not top secret. It's common sense stuff, but they looked at how these successful investors, how they behaved and their views on retirement. And there were some very interesting things in this study I want to share with you. Number one, the wealthier or more successful people that look at retirement, they don't look at it as a set date that, okay, when I hit 65, I don't care what I'm doing, I'm quitting, or at 62 or 67. They look at it, and I've worked with people in this regard, and it's pretty interesting. It's pretty fulfilling to do it this way. They look at their retirement assets as a partnership. They don't look at it, some do, but very often they look at it as a partnership. And what I mean by that, they say, okay, I'm going to, when I get to where I'm at a point that I don't like doing what I'm doing, or I want to do something different, or there's an opportunity, I may need to draw on my retirement assets to supplement my income, but I'm going to still have other income. So they don't look at it as a hitting a certain age. Only 14% of the people said, hey, I'm going to retire at a specific date. It was more about working part-time and doing something they enjoy, or maybe turning the page, so to speak. Now, if they found that when they got to retirement, they needed to make some adjustments, they were willing to make adjustments to their lifestyle. But what they rather do, and I've been advocating this for quite some time, is to adjust when they retire instead of adjusting their lifestyle. So a lot of the people in this study, half of the affluent Americans surveyed said they would just hold off retiring and retire later to avoid having to make lifestyle changes. And that makes sense to me. Hey, I'll retire at 67 instead of 65. I've got a good job, or I own a business. I'm doing these things. Why do I want to quit? I'm enjoying the lifestyle, and I'll just push off the retirement a little bit later. But if they did need to cut back, they looked at cutting their daily expenses. They bought fewer luxuries. Well, there we go. That supports my comment that I made to Scott earlier about the people that make more, the ones that spend on the luxury stuff, and they're the investors and all of that. They limited their vacations. They cut back on entertainment. They kept the same car longer. I think a lot of Americans have adopted that approach. And, you know, as we buy these newer cars, that's great for the economy. And a lot of people, we have the record, I think it was like 11 years was the average age of the car on the road right now. And a lot of people are trading that in. Well, every time somebody trades in the 11-year-old car, they get a new car. And guess what happens to the mileage? Well, most of the time it's jumping up pretty significantly. Not only do you have an older car with less technology, but it's just older and maybe not as efficient as it used to be. They also, the people making the lifestyle adjustment, and this is something I've seen very often, you know, back before 2008, and then also before 2000 through 2002, when I was working with people, there's a lot more focus on leaving more money to heirs. There's a lot of estate planning going on. But after those two, the twin attacks of 2000 through 2002 and then 2008, a lot less people are focused on leaving lots of money. They're more concerned about making sure they have the income they need. And so that's another thing. And then, of course, people are downsizing their home. So these are all things that people look at for planning their retirement. Now, here's the third one, which really struck me, that stands out, that what people who are more successful do. They, ready for this? Plan their retirement. What do you know? And there's been studies done that show only half of Americans do any type of planning before pulling the plug on their job. Do you imagine somebody doing that, Lisa, where they just say, okay, I'm just going to quit. I'm not going to have really a plan. Take this job and, well, so they say only half do that. And you know what? I think, and then there's some, about 42% that actually will do some sort of calculation. Well, let me give you some good news. You're listening to this program. You go, I don't know how to know when I retire or what it needs to look like. If you meet with an advisor that knows what they're doing, know anybody? Well, you're listening to one. I can tell you how long you need to work. Isn't that liberating? If you want to know how long you need to work, do what the successful, affluent people do. They hire an advisor to tell them how long they need to work to be able to retire with enough money to give them a very high degree of probability of achieving the kind of lifestyle they want in retirement and to protect them from inflation. There you have it. It's that easy. And that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining me.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.